Hello, you're listening to the Australian Organic Collective podcast. I'm Jane Cudahy. So often the motivation for change comes from something simple. For Bridget Carmody, the motivation to create organic skincare came from a very personal experience with radiation treatment and the desire to create something to genuinely benefit those closest to her. The Clements Organic Skincare and Cosmetics range didn't happen overnight. It has been a labour of love, learning and the gathering of experience and quality organic ingredients over many years. And also a pretty amazing trip to France.
Becoming a naturopath is something that I guess I came to later in life. When I say that, it sounds silly because I was maybe 22, 23.
For Bridget, it's not so much what you need to start buying or using, it's the why.
I grew up in the Hunter Valley of New South Wales, on an acreage, very idyllic lifestyle. Growing all our veggies and fruits, and it was beautiful. I loved it. And my mother was very much into natural medicine and natural remedies, and so I had been exposed to that sort of lifestyle from a young age. We moved to Queensland when I was 12, and from the country to the beach to Noosa in Queensland, and it was a stark difference for me. But I adapted, as all children do, but I also couldn't wait to get out of there when I was 18. My plan was originally to go and study law because I had an interest in law and politics. I think ever since reading Nelson Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom, it was something that I thought. I was inspired by it, and I thought I'd love to really make a difference in the world. I'd love to be able to contribute, and I loved debating in high school. I did debating, so I loved that sort of argument.
Law would be a natural progression, I would imagine.
Absolutely, I love a good argument, but a well thought out argument, not just arguing for argument's
not a
sake.
Good Barney like yeah.
No, terrible at that. I'm terrible. I would run away. So I think I got into my last year of high school and I just started dithering on law. I thought, oh, is it really what I want to do? I think at the end of year 11, I did my work experience at the local courthouse in Noosa, which was great because I think it introduced me to some of the real life aspects of the legal profession, and it made me question my career path straight out of high school. And so I decided to put my law degree to defer, and instead I moved to London and I travelled. And I lived in London and I lived in South Africa and I lived away for about 4 years, and in that time I ended up working as a legal secretary in some quite large law firms in London, and that well and truly convinced me that I did not want to become a lawyer.
Well, I think life, when you work out what you don't want, it's generally more important than what you do want.
Exactly. And I think in my time in London I had some minor health issues, and I started seeing a natural therapist, and kind of going back to my roots and back to my childhood, and thinking about, I think at some point I just thought, well, I could actually make a career out of this. It's something that I really enjoy. I really believe in. I've seen how effective natural medicine can be. And so I started looking into actually studying naturopathy in London. But as an Australian studying in London, you need to pay for everything up front, and it was going to be quite expensive, so that wasn't an option.
Jump through a lot of hoops too, isn't it?
Exactly. It wasn't easy. So I decided to come home, and I enrolled in a Bachelor of Naturopathy at Southern Cross University in Lismore, and I lived in Lismore for 4 years while I did my degree. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I loved my degree. It was heavily science based. I think it was, which shocked most people who enrolled in it, because most people sort of thought, oh, naturopathy, flower remedies and all natural, But I think our degree had the highest dropout rate the whole university. It was like 80% or something. It was actually really hard. It was a lot of chemistry, anatomy and physiology, and a lot of things that people didn't expect. So, but I I loved it. I loved my degree. I loved the 4 years living in the Northern Rivers and kind of getting to know that area, which I'd never known before.
And your mum must have been pretty excited that you'd taken up this career as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think that mum loved it because it was, you know, I guess sort of cementing the you know, what she had introduced me to and exposed me to in my childhood, and it just all aligned. And it was actually great being in Lismore for 4 years because I was quite close to my parents, who were in Noosa. It was only a 3-hour drive, which turned out to be great because my dad then actually got sick with cancer in the last year of my uni degree, and so I wanted to spend a lot more time with him during that time.
Well, that's sort of what led me to my next question, because it was a personal sort of foray into your career, into the cosmetics then, wasn't it? Is that because of your dad's illness?
That's right. So in that last year of my degree, when I was actually doing my clinic hours and I was making prescribing formulations for clients and nutritional supplements, and I had actually started making some very simple balms and creams for clients, and it was actually on one of Dad's visits to his oncologist where they gave him a sort of a barrier cream for the radiation therapy. And I took one look at it and I went straight in the bin as we walked out the door, because it was just a petroleum-based barrier cream, which had nothing beneficial in there for the skin whatsoever. It was only going to irritate, if not, stress his liver, in my view. So I went straight to work and researched some beneficial herbs and nutrients which would actually help with the radiation burn, and I formulated a balm for his radiation burn, which he used during his treatment, and it worked really well. I had the oncology nurses asking me what was in it, what I was giving him, because he basically had no radiation burn, no visible dermatitis, radiation dermatitis, compared to other patients on the ward who were very red and very burnt and very uncomfortable. So I think that was a bit of an aha moment for me. I thought, wow, that's, you know, something so very simple can make a really big difference.
And then did the trip to France that really pulled it all together come before or after that?
That came after that. So after I finished my degree, we moved to the Blue Mountains, and that was, and I guess, a bit of a lifestyle choice, because we wanted to be in nature, but we needed to be close to Sydney for work. I had started working at Western Sydney University in their sort of clinical trials unit with natural medicines, and then I was going to start my honours degree soon after that. My father had passed away in the early part of that year.
That's a lot of changes for you all at once.
Yeah, it was. It was a huge upheaval of the time, because obviously I then had to go back up and I helped my mum. I stayed with her for some time to help her sort through all the things that needed to be sorted out when that happens. Just put a few things on hold. But I think that having seen, you know, what that balm did for my dad, it had made me think, okay, well, I'll go do my honours degree, then I'll do a PhD, and I'll do a clinical trial showing how that balm can actually help cancer patients with their radiation dermatitis. And that was my plan. Coming from a heavily science-based degree, I knew that you had to sort of have the evidence there to make, you know, make real changes. But I never made it to my PhD. I completed my honours, and during that time I also had opened my clinical practice, mm-hmm. and I'd started treating patients in the Blue Mountains. Mm-hmm. And it was during that time that I had started seeing more patients who had skin issues, and I was making products for them and sort of tinkering. And I mean, I had also had my own skin issues, so I'd been making other things for some time, like a skin oil for some scarring that I have. I have quite bad keloid scarring, and treating acne that I had from a teenager. And so it was just a natural thing for me to make products for my clients, because I'm very fussy, and I wanted to be able to actually help, know that what I was making was going to help and heal their skin issues. You know, very, very often there was a lot of eczema and dermatitis, but then there were other things like rosacea and psoriasis, and then other women who just wanted healthy skincare. And so what sort of was just basically a clinic-based business then kind of grew into me making skincare products and selling them at local markets and at local stores, because as word of mouth grew and I had more and more patients coming to me specifically for skin related things, it ended up being the sort of more the focus of my business than anything else.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What switched then to make it the focus? And also, can you go into the fact that it is completely organic, and that obviously is something that's very close to your heart?
That's right. So for me, I have always tried to live an organic based life. I think from a young age, I understood that you know, natural was best, and you know, minimizing chemicals, minimizing other things in your life that weren't beneficial to your health. It's something that I've always believed in. I always bought organic fruits and vegetables and other foods. And so for me, there's no difference really with what you put in your body, in your mouth, to what you put on your skin. It should be natural and it should be as organic as possible. Mm. And so I always based my formulations on 100% natural ingredients, certified organic ingredients wherever possible. So all of my products have always been primarily based on certified organic ingredients, because I believe that is the highest standard when it comes to ingredients in Australia.
We still have a few other points to get to, but you've brought up that certification issue. So we might talk about that briefly now, but you know, okay. Australian doesn't have a lot of regulation, but you're talking about the certified organic. So how does that affect you with the way that you source some of the products that you need?
It affects me in that I have a certain amount of suppliers that I can choose from who are able to source certified organic ingredients, because it's one thing saying that something's organic, but anyone can say that something is organic. And that is the problem with regulation in Australia. There is no regulation for organics. And that to me is very frustrating, because my products get compared alongside other products which have the word organic in it somewhere, but really may only be 0.5%, if any, organic ingredients. They can really say whatever they want. And that is an issue in Australia that I know Australian Organic Limited are working hard to address and put into place some sort of regulation, so that companies such as myself stand out and be clear that what we are offering is actually organic and what they are offering is not organic, and they're not allowed to say that. Mm. Because of the problem, at the moment it's just a huge problem. There's no regulation. Mm. And there's lots of greenwashing.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be infinitely frustrating for you. So, I just want to go back to where we were talking about before, because, you know, you've talked about bringing it all together and all of that sort of thing. And there was a trip to France that I did ask you about, but you haven't got to France yet. So we might just pick up again there, please.
Let's go to France. How I would love to go to France.
Yes, we all would.
Yes, I know. Eventually we'll get there again. Okay, so my family and I took a trip to France with some family friends in 2015. Mm. Our children were very young, so it was.
I was going to say that would be babies on a plane. That's my favourite.
An 18-month-old and a 3.5-year-old. Yep. Yes,
we lived in Kenya when my kids were that old, so I can completely relate to long haul flights and small children.
so hard, so very challenging. But we kept telling ourselves, you know. And they remember none of it now. They have no memory whatsoever. But we didn't do it for them. We did it for us.
Good point of difference. Good.
Look, the trip to France was just a really good opportunity for us to have a family holiday together with these friends. We travelled all through France, especially the south of France, where we had 4 weeks. And in that time, I guess I had been making skincare for a few years by then, and I had seen that side of the business grow. And so I went out of my way on that trip to go to as many organic and natural skincare factories and shops that I could, and try everything that I possibly could, just so that I could see, you know, because I think of the French and I think of skincare, and I think, well, you know, they know what they're doing. You know, they are kind of world leaders in some ways when it comes to skincare. But the further along I went and the more products that I tried, the more and more I think it cemented in my for me that what I was making was actually really good, and that many of my products could stand up to a lot of the bigger brands, and some of the bigger brands, you know, which I had in my head, which I thought were natural, turned out to be less and less natural the more ingredients that I read. And so I think
they have good marketing departments too, then.
Amazing marketing departments. Lots of money thrown at marketing, but ultimately what they were selling wasn't great. And I thought, wow, you know, what I'm making is actually okay, and I think maybe I should have a go at this, because I don't know, it was just a bit of a light bulb moment for me where I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll give it a try. And so I came home and I spent 12 months researching, you know, sort of designing packaging and branding and, cementing all of the bits and pieces that you need to get a skincare brand up and running. And that's where the name actually came from, that trip too. So the name Clémence, it's a French word. And I think for me, I wanted a French name because it was really that trip that led to the brand becoming what it is. Mm. And I did digress. The word means mild, merciful, and gentle. And for me, I think that's just what my products represented. They were mild on your skin. They were merciful on your health, and they were gentle on the environment. And it was I thought it was a beautiful word as well.
It is a beautiful word. But that's not that long ago, and now you've got this amazing company. So what has the last few years involved? Because that's a big growing period, and you were doing so much of it yourself.
I did most of it myself, and to be honest, I still do a lot of it myself because I am a bit of a control freak.
I didn't pick that up at all, Bridget. No.
You're very kind. Very kind. It's been a bit of a roller coaster, to be honest. So I launched Clémence in July of 2016, and my sister ended up passing away in December of that year, about 5 months after I launched. Not long after I launched, because it was all very new and, you know, still very small, I was spending a lot of time going up to the Hunter Valley to be with my sister and spend time with her and do what I can to help her and her husband and children through that time. And she had been unwell for quite a few years, but it was getting quite serious in those latter months. And so my focus was very much off the brand in the first 6 months. And then even after my sister passed in that December, I would say that next year of the business was very much very low key and very
putting
one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, those kind of periods, you look back on it and it's amazingly constructive. I mean, at the time that you possibly don't think it is. So
I had to take my focus off the business, and it was okay because I didn't, you know, it's a fully self-funded business. You know, my husband and myself have funded this business, so I didn't have millions of dollars to throw at marketing and what have you. So it was just from word of mouth and just growing very slowly. And so that was perfect in that first year or so when my focus was off the brand completely, and it was on myself, my family, my sister's family, and just, you know, putting one foot in front of the other for that time.
Absolutely. You can completely understand that. So I just want to talk a little bit more about the actual products that you have, because it is an organic cosmetic line. So, you know, what are some of your favourite ingredients that you use, and what are some of the products that you love?
Look, I love them all. I really do. And I still use all of them every day. Like, I really thought that maybe one day I might get sick of them. I thought I might get sick of the smell or get sick of the texture or get sick of some relation to it. But I really haven't. And I think that's because, let me just start with ingredients. I have used ingredients which, I guess for me as a naturopath, have both a long history of traditional use but are also well scientifically researched. So they're not, none of, I, I'm, I will very rarely use new ingredients. They're very much sort of time-tested things. Things like rosehip oil, and rosehip has always been kind of a core ingredient for me, going back to my probably my teenage years when I started getting keloid scars, and I wanted something that was going to help me with that. And so rosehip is something that I've used since I was a teenager, and I've always found it extremely effective. I've always sort of tinkered with my own little formulations because I found rosehip oil on its own to be a little bit dry. And so I've always added different ingredients to that, like calendula oil, because calendula in a vegetable-based sunflower or olive, it just adds another sort of a gentle and more anti-inflammatory element. And it's also really good for scar tissue and for wound healing. And then I also use essential oils, which have really good evidence for their effectiveness for skin, more being anti-inflammatory, being restorative, and being not irritative as well. So all of the products are very, very gentle. They're all very anti-inflammatory. The scent on them is always very mild because I don't like heavily scented products. I find them irritating, and I think the fragrances that are used in skincare, when they're strong, they're generally artificial. Yeah. But even essential oils have to be used in very small amounts so that they don't irritate the skin. And so all of the products are extremely mildly scented and mild on skin, which makes them perfect for sensitive people with sensitive skin.
When you're saying tinkering, like, I'm literally imagining you in a little, corner of your house or a spare room tinkering away with different concoctions and ingredients. Is that seriously how you come up with your products? Are you tinkering
absolutely
all the time?
I do. Like, when I first started making them, I had my own little office and little lab where I would melt the waxes and combine the ingredients and make things from scratch. And sometimes it would take me many formulations to get something just right, and also many months. Often it takes around 12 months to perfect something.
And are you trying this on yourself and your friends? Like, how are you trialing it?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm the number one guinea pig. If I'm extremely fussy, and so it has to be absolutely perfect before I will even give anything to my friends or family. And yeah, they are the next lot of guinea pigs. My close friends and family.
I'm sure they love it though.
They do. Yeah, absolutely. Because I want, I want feedback. I want feedback from people who I know will be give me an honest opinion.
Well, family, that's if they're for nothing else, it's the brutal honesty, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why I love them.
Yeah. Well done. So you've expanded quite a lot in the last very recent history. And I really have to say I admire your marketing strategy, because it's not overselling yourself or the product, but letting your products speak for themselves in terms of quality. Has that been frustrating, or are you, as well as being a perfectionist, quite a patient person and can wait for that word of mouth and that, slow burn to kick along?
That's such a good question, because it's not straightforward, basically.
No.
To answer one of those questions, I am not in any way patient. I'm extremely impatient, but I think in this industry you have to be patient in a lot of ways, because especially when you're starting out a new brand, it takes time. I mean, we're just over 4 years in now, and I feel like we've only really, found our feet really, really strongly in the past year, because we've sort of grown our customer base where, I have customers who've been with me right since I started, since I was selling the products at markets, and they tell their friends and they tell their family, and it just expands and expands from there. But it also gets to the point where media pick up on it, and, we get some really good media exposure. People like my story, I guess, the fact that it has all come from a place of wanting to help people and really believing in what I do, and that something as simple as skincare can make a difference to people. And I think the fact that I get amazing emails and messages from customers every week, telling me how my products have made a difference to them and to their lives, and it just gives me so much joy and so much, energy, I guess, to keep doing what I do.
Validation too, I suppose.
Absolutely, absolutely. Definitely validating, because it's quite a tricky industry, and it takes time to actually, to become financially stable in it, and to, to be sure that you are on the right path. Mm. And I'm as a perfectionist, I'm always changing things. I'm always trying to make things better. And this I've kind of accepted is never ending. I will, my packaging will keep evolving, the more environmental options there are, and I will keep tinkering with products and introducing new products that I feel are beneficial for my customers. But ultimately it's all, I don't know. I guess it all comes from my heart. It's something that I really love. I really love what I do, and I feel extremely privileged to be able to share what I create with the world, and that people love it. Like, that just is.
Well, that's it. I was going to say, you always hear when something's gone wrong and people aren't happy, but that's not. It takes, if people are giving you positive feedback, they either know you really well and know that you'd like it, or they genuinely love what it is that you've offered. Like,
That's right.
Takes quite a lot to get people to give positive feedback willingly.
Yeah, like I actually had an email just, I think it was Thursday or Friday last week, from this woman, and she said, I've never written a review before, but I just felt compelled to. Your products have made such a big difference, and I love them so much. I have to write to you, and I love that.
Great.
I just,
that's so beautiful.
It just makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And look, by no means are we perfect, and I still make mistakes, and things still go wrong. And after a while, you just kind of accept that. There's some things are out of your hand, and you just need to accept it, learn from it, and do your best to improve it, or make sure it never happens again next time. It's a huge learning curve.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned just before about moving into environmentally friendly packaging. That's relatively new to your business, isn't it? What's happening?
Well, I've always, I would say it's not new, but we have some new changes. When I launched the brand, it was extremely important to me to make sure that the products were packaged in an environmentally friendly way, and that the packaging was as easily recyclable as possible. So that has always been extremely important to me. But I guess it just evolves over time as our recycling evolves over time, and the products that are available, the packaging products that are available. Mm-hmm. So I was using some glass jars, which with an aluminium cap, which I was having to import from China, which is obviously not great for air miles, but I couldn't get anything similar here. And obviously now with transport issues between countries, that makes things even more difficult. But also the weight of them, so they're heavy, which is a heavy glass is not great for
postage costs.
Yeah, that's right. And so I started looking for some new packaging options, and I had very much resisted using plastics, because I've always sort of pushed against plastic, and I'd lent more towards aluminium and glass. But I found this company in Sydney who made these tubes. They make them in their factory in Sydney, which is, less than 2 hours away from me. Their factory is solar powered. They are an extremely environmental company in themselves. And the tubes are 100% recyclable, and also just in your curbside recycling. And they're made from recycled materials. So
wow.
I think for me,
that just ticked all of the boxes, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited about it, because not only does it ticks the boxes environmentally, it also keeps our product fresher for longer, because, when you have a product in a jar, it obviously gets a lot more air exposure, and putting your fingers and whatever into it, there's also issues there with freshness. So this is just and obviously with organic, you can only use a certain amount of preservatives and to keep products as they are for long. So this just is going to keep our product fresher for longer in a more sustainable way. And I'm so excited about our new packaging, which we are releasing tonight, actually.
Oh, wow. Well, we better hurry along then, so you can get sorted. But how big is the organics cosmetic market in Australia? You said, there's plenty of products that claim to be organic around, but the actual true blue organic, how big is that market?
Look, in terms of certified organic skincare, there aren't a lot. There aren't a lot of brands out there. For the size of the country and the population, there isn't a lot that is actually certified organic. And so it's actually trying to be a bit more involved with Australian Organic and helping them out to talk to other cosmetics companies to help it make it easier for them to become certified organic, and also to educate people on the benefits of it. And because I think that maybe more skincare brands would become certified organic if they understood how simple, relatively simple, the process can be. I think that once the regulation comes in, the benefits of being certified organic will stand for themselves as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Bridget, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute delight to chat to you, and I can't wait to go and check out some more of your beautiful products.
Thank you so much, Jane. I really enjoyed our chat today.
You can find more about Bridget's story and the philosophies around her products at her gorgeous website, www.clemenceorganics.com. That's CLEMENCEorganics.com. Thanks for listening. And if you've got a minute, please rate and review this podcast wherever you've downloaded it, or on our website, ostorganic.com. That's Ost for Australia, A-U-S-T, organic.com. And by the way, as we continue to push forward for mandatory domestic organic standards in Australia, remember to always look for a certification mark when purchasing an organic product.